Welcome back to the Marketing Technology Podcast. This is the 24th episode, and in this episode, Mark van Horik, my co-host, and I, Elias Krum, both from Marketing Guys, have an interview with Nick Mason, the founder of Turtle.
Welcome, Nick Mason, with Turtle on this Marketing Technology Podcast. Together here with me, I have Mark van Horik, my colleague, and we basically met you, Nick, at the MarTech Festival in London a couple of weeks ago.
That's right. So, yeah. Hi, Mark. Hi, Alice. Hi.
We're happy to have you here. And you showed us some interesting stuff during the MarTech Festival, which we would like to share with our podcast listeners. So I'm looking forward for this chat.
Yeah, perfect. Me too. Looking forward to it.
Okay. Could you give a little bit of background info about yourself and the company you work for, you founded, Turtle?
Yeah, sure. So my background is in, originally actually in science, in that I did kind of a science degree, a physics degree. But ultimately, somehow I wound up doing technology work. So working as a consultant, working in various companies, doing all sorts of interesting stuff in that world. I did that for about 5 or 10 years, but I always ended up gravitating towards product. I always found that people were most interested in talking to me about product and having me work on their products. So that was kind of interesting. And one of the things that I worked on, and this is where kind of the genesis of the company comes from. One of the things that I worked on was with doing consultancy work for the medical sciences division at Oxford University over here in the UK. And, you know, in doing that, you can't help but bump into some interesting people. And some of those were psychology professors, psychiatry professors. And, you know, with these people, they can't help but tell you about the research that they're doing. And, you know, a couple of them were working on, or at least were talking to me about, work on how we retain information, like written information, and the effect of things like images and interaction and so on. And that was really the spark, not immediately, but a couple of years down the line, the spark that led us to start to think about making a product like Turtle. And that's kind of a very short potted history of how we got to where we are today.
Oh, that's interesting, Nick. So your Turtle is not necessarily technology based, but it's more psychology or psychiatry based.
Originally, yeah. I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? Is that in 2018 or nearly 2019. Technology is like a tool, right? I think that increasingly fewer and fewer things in the technology domain are motivated by technology, if you see what I mean. You know, more and more stuff that uses technology, obviously, is motivated by other things, and we're no exception to that. Our original motivation was around psychology and around, you know, people are creating more and more content all the time on the web. You know, a lot of it's very boring, very flat, very passive, very unengaging. And, you know, if you can increase the performance of that content by applying psychology by even a small number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%, then, you know, you're kind of onto something. So that's kind of where the original idea came from.
Yeah, and that's also what we were aspired to do.
Fallen in love with marketing automation. You know, everyone who we speak to is using some form of marketing automation, and that's great. Being able to operate at scale is great. But you've got to have something high quality to do at scale in the first place. And so what we see, and I think this is what you were alluding to, is that a lot of customers have cracked the scale bit and they're like, great, we can send stuff out and we can personalize and we can send all these things out to lists of 10,000 people, 100,000 people on a rota, and we can nurture people. But what are we actually going to say to them?
Yeah.
And this is right. And this is where we come in, because, you know, it's all very well having a really loud megaphone. If you've got nothing to say, it doesn't matter. And so this is where we come in, which is like, look, you've got the ability to communicate with all of these people, right? But you need to offer them something amazing. You know, you need to offer them something that makes you memorable, that makes you interesting, that makes you different, that makes people say, wow, like that was really something. And in our view, sending someone a static PDF or directing them to just a scrolling web page or some boring HTML email is like, that's not going to cut it. You know, that's not good enough. And so, you know, our perspective is kind of, you know, we should be creating, you know, given what our laptops, what our phones, what all of these devices we have can do, we should be creating something much more visually interesting, much more engaging, in tune, as I was talking about before, you know, given the genesis of the company, in tune with the psychological ways in which we actually interpret, use, retain, remember information. And if we can get that right and we can provide analytics on the back of it to show how that is actually being consumed, so rather than just things like open rates, download rates, what are people really reading within the content? Where are they spending their time? Where are they interacting? What questions are they answering? What bits are they clicking on? Then you have a really, really powerful, like modern way of supporting these experiences that everyone is looking to offer their customer, and doing that within a way that plays nicely with marketing automation too.
Well, that's really, really cool. Nick, it's what we see happening a lot when we do a lot of marketing automation implementation. You guys are using on Turtle, you're using HubSpot. We have all the others. We know these vendors and we implement those packages a lot. Those software tools like Acton or Marketo or whatsoever. The question that we always get during the implementation phase is, where do we get the content from? How do we create pieces that are actually worthwhile reading? Which pieces are going to give me that conversion from an unknown to a known visitor, etc.? So it's something that's really has a lot of attention with companies that are adopting marketing automation. So I really recognize that need. Is it something you would consider, because it plug as you're telling me it's plugging into your marketing automation software package, right?
Yeah,
or
so to talk
it's an API
so,
or something.
Yeah, so to talk about your use case there, you know, using your marketing automation to generate leads. What we do is we plug in really nicely. So we allow you to put your marketing automation form directly into your piece of content. And let me give a little example of the benefits of doing this. So you put that form in, and obviously your data goes straight into your CRM, and you can start to analyze it, and you can, you know, take advantage of that. But to give an example of why that's so powerful in the use case that you're talking about, I'll give an example from a customer, and I won't say the name because I don't know if I have permission. But customer of ours have been sending stuff out with PDF for years and years and years, and they knew who read it because you had to give your name and email address, but they knew nothing beyond that. Okay. But by using kind of a more interactive, engaging format with analytics, they were able to capture the data and then see exactly where, so capture the name and email address, but then see exactly how much they read, how long they read for, and which sections they read. And off the back of that, then what they're able to do is they're able to say, well, look, we've got a product which is great for, I think the example was anyone based in Paris who's interested in the African energy market. Okay, you can go into the analytics, you can see how people read it, and now you can pull out all that list of 150 people, whatever it is, and you can give that to sales, and you can say, okay, go ahead, here are the people who you need to be talking about that offer. And so, you know, your example of lead gen, you know, being able to serve that is like, you know, once you've got the ability to actually see how people are consuming your stuff on a more detailed level, that becomes a very achievable goal.
So what you basically are doing is changing the moment of where you, because you want to know more about the people so that you can cater them with the information that's relevant for them. And usually you do that upfront, by, for instance, in the forms, by asking them information upfront as an exchange for the value of the content that you're going to deliver them in that PDF. With Turtle, you can migrate some of those questions to the content, especially if it's behavioral information.
Yeah, but it kind of goes a bit deeper than that, because if you let's say that you produce your report with PDF and you sign up at the front. Well, first of all, like loads of people fill that in. I can't remember what the stat is, but loads of people will fill that in, download the piece and never read it.
Yeah.
So that tells. So really, you've learned nothing. about that person. And we always say this about open rates and click-through rates as well, is like, if you actually stop and think about what those metrics mean, it's an intent to read something. It doesn't mean that the person actually read it.
So you're
basically guessing, and you've got these numbers that you're putting a huge amount of reliance on, but you don't know what they mean. I wonder if you guys remember from, I think it's about 2013, 2014, an advert that Adobe did with the kid clicking on the iPad. Do you remember this?
So
I guess just to recap it, basically this company gets really excited because their clicks are going through the roof. They start upping production and the rest of it, and it cuts to a little baby, right, tapping on an iPad, and the parent says he really loves that iPad, and people laugh at that, but then they go and do it because they go and base decisions based on open rates and based on click-through rates and so on, which actually don't tell you what you need to know.
But the funny thing is, like, if you're this is reminding me, we're all as marketers talking about going from quantity to quality, let's say, and not that many followers, not that it's about the engagement, but basically what you're saying, engagement usually, so the engagement figures that we get from, for example, Facebook, isn't really showing real engagement, it's showing clicks or likes. But, you know, if someone likes something on Facebook, that's considered to be engagement. But it doesn't necessarily mean that someone really read the piece. Somewhere I read that thing on click rates and stuff shared on LinkedIn, for example. So a lot of people like stuff, share stuff on LinkedIn that they don't even read, just because of the title. So that's where Turtle comes in.
Absolutely. There's research that shows that typically people read, I think it's less than 20%, or maybe it's even less, maybe it's 10% of an article before they share it. And so it's kind of like, well, you haven't engaged, you don't know what it's about. It's like, you know, you're playing a different game here. You know, that's not really an indicator. So the thing that we think is really important is being able to see, you know, with really granular, sophistication, you know, what someone actually read. And so, you know, when you do that, you actually learn some really interesting things. You can understand your audience much better. You can follow up much better with them, and you can serve them better stuff in the future, because now you know what they're really interested in, not just what they tell you they're interested in, which are often two different things.
True. It's a little bit like night vision goggles.
It's exactly. It's a good way to put it.
Talking a bit more about Turtle, you tell that the big difference is that you measure stuff within content instead of what the traditional PDF thing is. You put night goggles on and then suddenly you see things and how things really are. But to give the reader or the listener a bit more sense of what Turtle is.
Yeah.
Is it something to be compared with digital magazines that you see popping up around the web, or is I'm trying to? Can you a little bit visualize what the result of Turtle is, the content in comparison to what is available now?
Sure. Let me take some time to do that. So what Turtle fundamentally is a kind of reimagined way to do content in the digital age. So if you take the way that, the way that people typically do it today, they'll go and create something which is perhaps in a PDF, will require a lot of design time, won't render well on mobile, will have all sorts of problems and complications in the creation phase, or they might try to do something online, right? And if you try and do something online, you're either going to be doing a scrolling web page, which isn't particularly engaging and, is quite frankly quite boring, or you're going to be spending a lot of money with an agency to create something vaguely interactive and interesting, right? Then you're going to have to publish it, you're going to have the whole trouble with metrics that we've spoken about, and the whole thing ultimately contributes to the problem that you said right at the start, which is people have got the ability to speak louder, but they don't have anything to say, because getting to the point where you've got something to say is too hard. You have to jump through all these hoops and make it difficult. So what we do is you start working with us, and we begin by taking a customer's brand guidelines and working with them to create a set of very flexible, very bespoke, really beautiful templates for them, right? And what this means is that they can give our tool to anyone in their team. And we work with, you know, sales teams, marketing teams, HR teams, everyone. Anyone can use the tool to create really great looking on-brand documents really, really simply. So it's literally a case of going in. You don't have to worry about brand guidelines. It's all taken care of automatically. You go in and you create something. And what we find when we looked at this is that we save companies huge amounts of money in terms of agency costs. Over the course of a year. So a customer of ours, again, who will have to remain nameless because I'm not sure I can say their name, they've been working with us since January. They've got a team of 20, 25 people on the tool. And at the end of September, so 9 months in, they estimated that they'd saved nearly $200,000 with us on agency costs. Because rather than farming everything out and paying every single time for every piece they needed to be created, every little tweak they needed made, they get a bill back, they just give their whole team logins and they can do it themselves. And it looks just as good. And it's actually more interactive and more engaging. So that's kind of one side, which is on the creation side of it. Then in terms of the documents themselves, you know, they're designed in a very specific way. And they use all kinds of like psychological research in terms of, you know, how we best engage with information, how we best understand it, and how we best retain it. Because, you know, psychology, if you look at it, gives us huge clues into how we actually get people to properly, you know, engage with and digest our information and remember it. You know, there's various psychological studies out there that explain, you know, tricks and rules that you can exploit in order to make that happen. And also to deliver this better experience, right? So I spoke at the start about how experience is such an important thing in business, but yet the experience of our content is so poor. So we offer, I guess, in simple terms at the front end, the ability for anyone in a company who's working with us to create really incredible experiences that are going to drive standout kind of differentiation in the market. And, you know, we think that that is something that, you know, is people are desperately in need of for all of the reasons that we've been speaking about today. And we find that when people do that, they get great results. So talking about that same customer, who saved, you know, $200,000 in 9 months, they also saw their engagement rates improved by between 5 and 7 times for every single piece they did. And they had pieces that were going out and getting like 100 reads and, you know, not really interesting, going up to getting over 1,000. Because people want to share this stuff, they're enjoying it, they're engaging with it, they come back for more, it's memorable. And it really puts that company, you know, top of mind, and people want to engage with that. And we think that this is something that's very achievable if you stop and slow down and think about, well, what should content really mean online in 2018? So that's on the creation side of it. But then obviously, because this content is all online and it's all very measurable, we also provide those really, really granular analytics off the back of it. So a typical journey for a customer will go something like this. They start working with us. Well, we used to do this report in PDF and we'd spend, you know, however much it would cost with our agency. Let's do it in total. We'll get it done in like a tenth of the time and a tenth of the cost. Great. That's a good start. And also it will get better engagement metrics and we'll be much prouder of it because it's looking really good. Then we'll send it out. It'll be really easy to send out. We'll use our marketing automation for that. We can put it on social. We can do whatever we would normally do. And then when we come back in to look at the analytics a couple of weeks later, we learn that we've got 50 really hot leads that we should follow up. And they're not just names and email addresses. They're people where I pretty much know their interests because I know what they read about. And so I can ring people up and start to have the right conversation and close more business. But then at an aggregate level, what I can do is I can see, well, I had 10 different sections in my document and people really loved 5, but no one read 3. Like 3 were really boring. So I'm going to stop talking about those 3 things. And in my next piece, I'm going to talk about some new stuff and I'm going to see if people are interested in that. So you can slowly gravitate and move towards your audience over time by providing them with more relevant content. And it just takes a whole lot of guesswork out and a whole lot of cost out. So today, if you're looking to do stuff with marketing automation, it's like, well, you need to invest a large amount of money in making the content in the first place. That's gone. And then once you've sent it out, all you've got are download rates or click rates. So you're kind of guessing as to what people really liked, and that's gone as well. So if you remove the cost and you remove the guesswork, you can move to a world where content actually becomes something that you can do at scale in a reasonable budget with some real confidence that you're going to be reaching your audience with something that they want to hear.
Well, that is quite a story, Nick. yeah, because basically what you're doing is making content what for many companies is like climbing the Mount Everest. without night night goggles, night vision goggles. To make it something actually very, very simple. And you're, I would hardly say, nearly say that you're democratizing content creation, because when you've got all the templates and all the guidelines in place, the people that have the knowledge, they can actually create content, because that's what I often see is the big difference is that the people that know the stuff are not the people that create the stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely, and one, that's a really interesting point, because one of our good customers, Cisco, their CMO said, I think it's a year ago now, possibly a little bit more, that they're going to be bringing more and more content in house. And she said the reason for this is we sell a complicated product, and we struggle to understand it ourselves. So how can we expect external people to understand it? Like, we need to be telling our story, and we need to be doing a better job of doing that. And so I think that that's something that people are kind of waking up to, and we see more and more people kind of saying, you know, well, the people who really understand our audience, the people who understand them, speak to them, and you know the data, are our internal people, and so they should really be given the powers, as you say. It should be democratized so that those people can be the people actually making the message and sending it out and seeing how it's performing and going from there.
Yeah. Okay. So I was also going through your website a little, and I was looking at the customers you have. Would you say this, well, the turtle is specifically aimed at a specific industry, or can all kinds of customers use this?
It's completely vertical agnostic. So we've sold to, I think at this point, 20, 25 different verticals, everything from cruise companies all the way through to, you know, top financial houses and
publishers. And, I saw there, yeah.
Yeah, The Economist, people like that. So it's like really vertical agnostic.
Okay, nice.
And then Turtle, it's cloud-based, isn't it?
Correct, yeah. Yeah.
So that will also mean that if you, because content, things change. So you will be also able to update the information. Will the receiver get that updated information? With other words, do I need to resend like you'd have to do with PDFs, something has changed and everybody's still got the old PDF, so we want them to download it once again to have the new version.
Yeah. So with us, I'll tell you, so the very short answer is no, the link is live. So you make an update, everyone sees the update. And I'll give you a really interesting use case for that that's actually quite topical. So we work with The Economist, and the day that the Brexit vote happened, which is quite kind of topical at the moment.
I have nothing heard about it.
No, what's please explain.
Okay, well, I'll take you through that. How long have you got? So basically, no one was really expecting that, right? So The Economists weren't really prepared. And so what they did is they all got into the office early. They got in at like 7, whatever, I don't know. And by 8 o'clock, they had a piece about Brexit that they sent out with us. And they had various different sections, and they looked at the analytics at 9 o'clock. And what they realized is no one cared about the economic implications. No one cared about the, say, free movement of people implications. No one cared about the political implications. All anyone seemed to want to read about at that point was how the pollsters got it so wrong. And so what they did is they took their piece that went out at 8, and they made various different iterations and versions of it over the day, getting closer and closer and closer to talking about the exact subjects that their audience were interested in. And they saw their engagement levels go up throughout that 24 hours. They saw the leads that they were generating go up over that 24 hours. And the piece turned from something that was kind of performing okay into something that was actually being really, really valuable to them and really speaking to their audience's needs.
Okay. Cool. So I can't wait to see the product in real life. What I was also wondering about, because we have to wrap up a little. We're at half an hour almost, and we usually people listen to us while commuting, and that's up to half an hour. So this works best. What if we have listeners that would like to know more about Turtle or would like to connect to you? What's the best way for them to find you?
Well, you can drop us an email. Me specifically, my email is nick@turtle.co, and I always write back. Or if you're interested in just general information, want to know more about the product, you can do info@turtle.co. Or obviously, you can go to our website, which is just, unsurprisingly, turtle.co.
Yep. So it's turtle without the E.
Yeah, so that's
so right. turtle.co. Without it, we'll also put that in the notes, of course. But for people that are listening in the car or whatsoever, it's turtle.co. So turtle without the E.
Yeah, but people who are in the car, please keep your hands on the steering wheel.
Yeah. We always say that, but you know, I know myself. People do want to write something down or whatever. Okay. Thanks, Nick, for being on the show. Looking forward to see the software in real life. Thanks again.
Yes, Nick, it was really enjoyed it. Yeah, it was very interesting. Thank you very much, Nick.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review on iTunes or follow us on iTunes. Thank you for listening.